Psalm chapter 93. 4 weeks from tomorrow, Vacation Bible School starts. 2 weeks from tomorrow, we get our parking lot paved. And 5 weeks from tomorrow, I go crazy. But it's going to be good. It's going to be good. I do. I love your spirit. Let's read Psalm 93. Title of the message, The Lord Reigns. You'll see it's only five verses. And isn't that wonderful on an afternoon service? How long can I keep you here for an afternoon service? Psalm 93. It's just celebrating the Lord. And you're going to see that these last psalms before I get to Psalm 100, and then we'll move on. Here's what I'm thinking. You guys can give me feedback on that. I think after I do Psalms, I'm going to move to 1 Corinthians. I have to go back and look. I think it's been years and years. Let me ask you this. You weren't here when I did 1 Corinthians, right? So that takes us back. How long you been here? 4 or 5 years? Okay, so I'm thinking 1 Corinthians. You guys, I'm open to input, but that's what I'm thinking. After we do the Psalms, that we'll have a great time in that book. Let's read Psalm chapter 93, verse 1. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. He's clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. The Lord reigns. Just a thought on that opening thing, the Lord reigneth. It's just talking about a continuation. He's always reigned. He always will reign. And this is just important. You guys, it's important for us to bring it to our conscious level. The Lord is the King. I serve a King. He's the King. It's important to remember. It's great comfort when life isn't going the way you want. You remember this. He didn't slip off the throne. He still reigns. He's still in charge. I can trust Him and I can ask Him, Lord, help me to understand. I have to be careful that I don't question Him. I think I can ask Him questions without questioning Him. Do you understand the difference? I want to understand, Lord, what is going on? I want to learn, how do I glorify You in whatever the circumstance? But I love this, the Lord reigns. Don't you love that He doesn't get reelected every 4 years? Right? Everything changes, right? And He reigns. And you didn't get to vote, Jacob. This is, now I'll use this word, it's probably not a great description. This is a dictatorship with perfection. He loves to hear from us, but He knows best. Every time we pray, you understand this. When we ask in Jesus' name, we're asking for the will of the Father. It's very, very difficult. It's so easy. You know, oh, Lord, we want Your will done with this parking lot. You know, because we could probably handle anything that happens to a parking lot. You could. Maybe I couldn't. But what if you're praying for, remember when we were praying for Shane, right? Those are hard words to say. Lord, ignore what I'm asking if that's not Your will. We have to trust in all things that God reigns. We have an advantage over all the lost. To whom do they turn? The government? Family? And God's given us, God created government. God created the family. Those are blessings. You live long enough and they'll all let you down. The Lord won't. I love the Lord reigns. He is clothed in majesty. I just I love this, right? I looked up 1828. Stephen, there you go back there. I was used to you being my second row. He's wanting to go in the front row, but he just couldn't outwit these ladies in the front row. So now he's in the back row. And Back Row Baptist, that's what I was going to name our church, either Hope Baptist Church or Back Row Baptist Church. But Hope made the cut. I'm just kidding. But 1828 Webster's, I looked it up, because it does give a little bit different flavor. Here's what the word majesty means. Greatness of appearance, dignity, grandeur, the quality or state of a person or thing that inspires awe or reverence. Just listen to that. He's clothed in majesty and strength. Greatness of appearance, dignity, grandeur, the quality or state of a person or thing that inspires awe or reverence. The Lord is clothed with strength. The Lord is clothed with majesty. You know, we sing that song, majesty. What's the next words? Worship His majesty. Jesus, whatever. I love that, right? My wife should have stopped right before, she's so musical, man. I'll tell you, you get her on that music and it's like, okay, honey, you can stop now. But I love her passion with music. It's so good, right? If I start singing to Cliff, it's like, oh man, next 20 minutes we're singing. I'm like, honey, I just wanted one stanza. I think that's all Cliff wanted too, but she's so passionate about music, right? But our Lord is clothed in majesty. Whoever the most awe-inspiring person that you can think of here on earth, they're a joke compared to God. He's clothed in majesty. He's clothed in strength. Everything that God is strength. The world looks at God as weak because they say, if I were God, I wouldn't do this. Look, I love the Lord, you know, and that He understands every decision He makes is perfect, including His allowance for sin. Can anybody, any man want to come up to me and explain that to me? That is truth, but anybody want to take a gander and I'll let you explain how Him allowing sin was brilliant and perfect. He didn't need sin for the cross, so that doesn't count. You can't go there. He didn't want sin. He didn't desire sin. But it was the perfect decision to allow sin. Who thinks they might have a gander at that? I don't either. What I love is, see, we can't fall into the trap of the world that says, well, God might not be as strong as that pastor says because He didn't do this. Well, you don't see it all in the total picture. You don't. You just don't. We as Christians, we cannot doubt the Lord's strength or His majesty. That's a lie of the devil. It's exactly what the world thinks. And if you hang around the world, you will begin to doubt His strength. When He doesn't, it's because it was the best decision ever. I can't explain it all. I welcome discussions about it. How that you can tell me it wasn't the best decision to allow sin. Everything He decides is best. I can't explain it all. But if not, then He might have a little weakness. There's no weakness in Him. See, I want to burn that in my heart. You know why? So that when the worst thing in the world, I don't even know what that is, would happen to me, that I can say, I know one thing. God made a perfect decision. I am at the end of myself. But I don't want to question God. Beautiful. He says this. He says, He hath girded Him. He said, He is clothed with strength wherewith He hath girded Himself. The world established that it cannot be moved. I want you to understand this too. I'm going to talk about this. To me, sometimes when a passage that is just the next verse. Did some of you, because many of you probably didn't read Psalm 93. How many of you, when I read verses 3 and 4, how many of you, the floods in Texas came to mind? Let me tell you, when I was studying this, and I was like, I forget who it was that asked me about the floods in Texas, and I hadn't heard about it. Oh, it was my wife. My wife. At the same time she heard about Saddam Hussein in Iraq. my wife in news is not the latest. But she knew about the floods in Texas before I did. She asked me, I forget, what did you tell me? You just, oh, somebody had said something about the mystic camp, the girls' camp, the Christian girls' camp, which I don't know anything about, but the world is established. It cannot be moved. It is, the world is in a state of panic, are they not? They think that they're scared half to death of this earth. Just, you know, whether it's fossil fuels, you name it. The devil wants people to fear everything but him. I think we ought to take care of the Lord's planet. I think we ought to show respect for God's earth. There's no doubt about it. But I know what's destroying the earth. It's sin. The earth, the world is established. It cannot be moved. Don't fret. Don't fret. If imagine this. I mean, I'll get there in a second. I'll talk about the flood tomorrow. I mean, just in a second. His throne is established. Now, this is interesting. Look at verse 2. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. I've had this discussion maybe with one or two of you. I can't remember who I have. But I believe that where God resides, heaven where God resides, the third heaven, has been there before creation. And I believe that the angels were there before creation. And if there's a Bible verse you think I'm trying to misrepresent, I'm not. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So I want you to know this, that everything that was made by God. So his physical residence in heaven, he made that. The angels, he made them. You guys tell me, I've searched it, because somebody told me a long time ago that there was a verse that people say that everything had to be created during the 6 days, and I don't see that as a necessity. If the Bible says it, I'll come back and I'll apologize, and I'll say, the Bible says everything was created in those 6 literal days, and I'll back up. I think his throne, there was a great conversation I had yesterday. Somebody mentioned it. Maybe it was Grant. Maybe it was you. Oh, we were talking. I gave him this question, you know, why does God save souls? And they were giving me all their things, and my wife said fellowship, right? Or you said fellowship. Who said fellowship? I think my wife did, right? Did my wife say fellowship? And then I think it was Grant that came back and said, well, no, it was. Yeah, so, you know, I'm not in disagreement that God created us to enjoy us, and it was for him. I'm not denying that. But the thought was this. So the thought was, God didn't need us to have fellowship. He already had it with himself. And that sounds crazy. But he is enough. He didn't create us because it wasn't enough. He created us from love. Understand that. Not necessarily a need for fellowship, though he created us for him, but his throne is established. His throne is established. Thou art from everlasting. If I can influence you with this, here's what I want to influence you with. I no longer say that God is eternal. He is. I say he's from everlasting to everlasting. Because the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, and I'm going to guess others, have hijacked the term eternal, and they don't mean everlasting to everlasting. The next Jehovah's Witnesses, you guys test me. The next Jehovah's Witness or Mormon you run into, say you don't believe that God is eternal. The last 5 to 10 have argued with me, and they said, no, we believe he's eternal. And I have to get to the point, you don't believe there's no beginning with God. And they'll tell you why I believe he's eternal from this point on. They're using the word eternal from this point on. They don't mean everlasting to everlasting. I love this term. I think we can use the term eternal, understanding what it is. But I like the term from everlasting to everlasting because it says God never began. You know, when I have Bible studies, the early ones, right? I'll say, when did God begin? They're like, you look puzzled right now. This is, okay, we got some remedial training to do. You have to answer this. This is just for my feedback. Let me have a side note. When did God begin? Yeah, that's correct. I want you to answer like, never, right? And you know, never. there you go. There was still a question mark at the end of that. Never. Now, Camille, when did Jesus begin? Never. He's God. Jesus is from everlasting to everlasting. God is from everlasting. And it's not saying that his throne is from everlasting. I'm not suggesting that. But it seems to be linking his throne to longer than this would be about 3,000 years after creation. That could still be of old. Okay, maybe. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. Again, we can trust in the one that's seen it all, been there from the beginning. You understand, that's why evolution can never become a law. None of us were there. No one ever observed it. Who observed creation? God, and it does indicate a little bit in Job that maybe the angels too, right? That's what another verse that might indicate the angels were there. But let's just say God is the only one that was there. I think there were angels there too. We can debate that. I'm not trying to be controversial with that. Have comfort in that. Have comfort in that, that he is in control. He's reigning. He is from everlasting. I just mentioned that. He's from everlasting. I talked about that. God is mightier than the waters. Look at verse 3 and 4. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lifted up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waters of the sea. I went and got the details of this flood of the Guadalupe River in Kerrville. I've never heard anything like this before. Did you hear the stats of that river? At 3 a.m., the river was at 1 foot. 4:30 a.m., 21 feet. 90 minutes later, within a period of 5 hours, it went from 1 foot to 36 feet. Flood stage is 20 feet. I don't know if I would have appreciated. Have you ever heard of anything like that before? I've never heard of anything going from 1 to 36 feet in 5 hours. I've heard of flash floods. I think I'll listen the next, you know, flash flood counting. I'm like, I wonder what kind of flash flood that is. I've never worried about a flash flood before. Have you guys? And maybe that's the problem. 1 foot to 36 foot. All that I do this is, it's amazing. God is mightier than the many waters. Water is, when water decides it's going somewhere, you're not stopping it. I don't know if there's anything else like that. And the concept is this: God is mightier than that. You want to be on his side. When God says something, it's going to happen. We can trust him. When that water's coming, you aren't changing it. Just get out of the way. But if you're with the Lord, I love Revelation 19, we will come with him. You want to be with him when you're coming back in Revelation 19. You don't want to be down on earth. You want to be with the Lord. And so, he's mightier than the waters. I mean, the only other thing I can think of is you know, the worldwide flood, all the evidence for that, how it cuts. I mean, the Grand Canyon, if you haven't been to the Grand Canyon, it's one of the most just glorious scenes. In my opinion, the two greatest spots in the U.S. that I've seen, video and all this, and I've been a lot, is Grand Canyon and Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls is a little bit closer. Niagara Falls is just amazing. I mean, some of you know Josh McGee, so we were on The Maid of the Mist. And I said, Josh, he's a good singer. I said, Josh, let's sing How Great Thou Art. And I did. I said, let's do it. Deb was all in. Of course she was. she whipped out a keyboard. I was like, where did you get that? No, she didn't. And so we were on the Maid of the Mist, and I wanted to sing How Great Thou Art. Maybe that had been a little bit obtrusive, right, with people. We didn't. Josh McGee, if you're listening, coward. But this is many, many years ago. But I get it. Maybe that was cramming things down people's throat. I wasn't looking to cram things down people's throat. But I will tell you this. It's the compulsion that you feel when you see the creation of God. And you see these waters just flowing over. And you're like, then sings my soul. You just want to, how great thou art. Do you understand the greatest privilege in the world is to serve the one that is that great? And when we understand this, that I do too, I hesitate to talk to people sometimes. I hope it's not embarrassment, but I think it is sometimes. We're worried about how we'll look. You must understand this with me. I dread everything extra that I do until I do it. You know, I'm always like, so I'm super excited about this wedding, but you know, when I go home tonight, I'm like, what in the world did I do? Because I want it to be good, and I'll be like, oh, you know, I didn't have to do this. I want to do it. I want it to be special for you, right? Even Thursday night when we took the flyers out to Harbin Park, right? I get all worked up about it because Deb comes and she goes, are you okay? She knows whenever I do these things. I'm like, I'm fine. And I don't think it's godly. I get all worked up about VBS, you know, and I'm glad I want to do it. And why I schedule things. I mean, even having Grant come, right? It's been way worse than I thought. But even having Grant come, right? I'm like, wish I hadn't done that. It'd be a lot of work with little benefit, and more work with less benefit. But I want to tell you, I'm glad I did it. I'm glad we went out Thursday night. I love VBS, and I know I get all stressed out. You know, I mean, part of the parking lot, so I'm like, dumb parking lot. I don't want to do this dumb parking lot. And if I get a hold of this, God's mightier than the waters. And I am glad, for whatever reason, even though I'll do different things and I get all stressed about it, and I try not to let you see it behind the scenes. You know why I get stressed? I forget who's mightier than the waters. I forget who can take care of everything. I've been enjoying the Lord, and just I've got to trust the Lord, and I'm sure there's zingers coming. This is a great chapter. He reigns and he's mightier than the waters. There's nothing he can't handle. Why do I dread the simplest things? I'm thrilled, right? I was thrilled that we went out Thursday night. I'm not worried about, I wanted more registrations. I wanted 7 times more registrations than what I prayed for. You see me and the Lord, we got some work to do. But I'm glad we were able just to testify. Every track had the gospel on it. You have no idea how powerful that is to give somebody a piece of literature that has eternal saving gospel on it. Watch these kids, and they, you know, those snappers that they like to throw on the ground, and I used to do. It's fun. If our flyers that some were on the ground on Friday, I feel it's like it's got the gospel. This is important. What do you dread? God's mightier than that. You know, pray for my wife all the time, because whenever we have something, you know, and I'm thrilled about the wedding, right? I'm thrilled about it. And I haven't even talked to Deb about it. But normally I do, because she's going to make it special. Now I put the pressure on her. Ladies, help me make it special, right? Because it'll be like, but I just get selfish sometimes, right? So I want you to understand this. I think God wants to celebrate it. I think he does. And you know what I just need to remember? God's gonna take care of it. And we need to put ourselves out there, and He's mightier than the waters. He'll take care of it. I don't know what's going to happen with this parking lot. I mean, I think we're going to have a parking lot in a couple weeks, hopefully. And that's not a criticism of anybody, right? Just me, right? He's mightier than the waters. And we saw the effect in Florida. I mean, in Texas. I haven't heard updates this morning. I don't even know what the death toll is. You know, young girls drowned, right? Just tragic. Tragic. Two things I'll finish with. Verse 5. Thy testimonies are very sure. I love this. A commentator said this. Testimonies is used more than 20 times in Psalm 119. And these testimonies are connected to the previous idea of God's reign, and that His reign is revealed in His testimonies. That is, His law, His word to men is sure. His testimonies are very sure. When God speaks, we can trust it. There is a... This is super important. And I'm not going to go... You know, the reason I use the King James is the text from which it's translated. I believe the text from which the King James is translated is the perfect word of God to the smallest level of marking. In the Hebrew, that would be the jot and the tittle. I believe God, and it's not that difficult, that God preserved His word perfectly in the Hebrew and Greek, and we have an English translation. It's really the only widespread English translation in print from the Textus Receptus. We have a Bible that's translated from that we can trust, and we have the Hebrew and Greek to go back and see the breadth of the meaning. I want you to understand this. I don't have to worry, what did the writers intend to say? Do you understand this? Most commentators don't believe we have the Word of God as originally given. They think the truth has been preserved, just not the details. I can't handle that. Four words make a difference. One word makes a difference. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know what the Jehovah's Witnesses, you know what their New World Translation says? See if you notice the difference. Test number two. In the beginning, this is the correct way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now here's the incorrect. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. All right, did you notice? He's more than a God. He's the only God. He is the God. The Word is made flesh and dwelt among us, verse 14. Jesus is God, but you know what Jehovah's Witness? They have to find a way that Jesus is not the God. You understand that? They add one word, a. Changes everything, does it not? See, I don't have the confidence in Episcopalians that translated the King James Bible. I have confidence in God, that He preserved His word in the Hebrew and Greek, and I believe that we have an accurate translation with no known errors. That's how I describe the King James Bible. That's a blessing. And it's from the perfect Hebrew, and it's from the perfect Greek. And we're in 2025, and I can go back to that perfect Hebrew and that perfect Greek, and I don't have to be a Greek scholar to get some depth and meaning of it. I want to tell you, there's not a word that He hasn't purified, and His testimonies are very sure. That's a big deal to me. I don't know. I preach specifically on words. If the words were not preserved specifically, how can I preach on words? It's all we have, and His testimonies are very sure. And then finally, look at this. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Holiness, His house is marked by holiness. I want to take you to this verse here. I want to emphasize verse 17, but I want to give you the context. You guys know this verse in 1 Corinthians 3. It says, know ye not that the temple of God, that ye are the temple of God, speaking to the believers of the church of Corinth. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Understand this truth. So that when someone is born again, when someone believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes immediately and lives in them and seals them and leads them, teaches them, convicts them, seals them, and is one of the greatest blessings that God could ever give us. Christ is in us. The Holy Spirit's in us. But it's this. It's a big deal. Know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Verse 17 in context is terrifying. I'm just using verse 17 in general, but if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. That's kind of shocking, isn't it? It is saying, I mean, if I had just read verse 17, some of you might have remembered the context, but immediately you would have thought about the temple in Jerusalem, would you not? So you would have thought, if someone would defile the temple in Jerusalem, that God will destroy him. In this context, which is not difficult, he's saying that your and my bodies as believers are the temple of the Holy Spirit. If we defile that temple, God will destroy us. You figure out what destroy means. It's a serious offense for you and I to use this vessel inappropriately. You understand that? God takes it that serious. Because understand this, if someone were to come in here and just throw cow manure all over our sanctuary, that'd be terrible, wouldn't it? I've heard of that happening to a church. Just terrible. Here's what every one of us would think. We'd think this. Would we not think this? Oh, man, they're in trouble, right? Wouldn't you think that? Somebody comes into the house of the Lord and disgraces it in that way. They're in trouble, right? I agree. In this context. Now, this is, I'll tell you, I want to understand this. In this context, God says, your body, my body, your body, your body, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do I treat it as such? What am I bringing into my body? And it can include food. It can include my mind. It can include my eyes. It can include my ears. What am I bringing into the temple of God? Am I bringing things into the temple of God that will defile the temple? Verse 17, I'll just read it and you wrestle with God. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. I tell you this, we started with the Lord reigns. Just, this is a great description of God, and I'm finished. Just, he's clothed in majesty and strength. He established the world. He established his throne. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He's mightier than many waters or any other thing you want to think. His testimonies are sure. We can believe everything that he has said. And his house is marked by holiness. And you and I ought to be marked by holiness. We ought to be marked by love. We ought to be marked by the fruits of the Spirit. We ought to be marked by an unselfishness that is different than everybody else. But if there's one thing, this is the great debate. We're going to ask this question and I'm finished. You have two options. What's the greatest attribute of God? Two options. You can only vote once. And 90% of you will not vote at all. You can only vote once. Two options of the greatest attribute of God. Love is one and holiness is the other. All right. Okay. I think those are the two competing. Anybody have a third one? Any other competing on? Those are the top two options, in my opinion. Okay. How many believe the greatest attribute of God is love? Okay. Got a rough feel. How many believe the greatest attribute of God is holiness? I don't disagree with any of you. Here's what we've concluded today. We ought to be known for love and holiness, right? I'm not sure which is which. I'll just tell you. I'm sure glad he is love, aren't you? He could be holy and not save us, couldn't he? But I'm sure glad he loves us. I appreciate love more than holiness. But I think you might be right. I'm not sure. But if we've concluded this, we want to represent the one that reigns. We ought to trust him. And we ought to honor him. Holy vessels. Respectable. Honorable unto him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for just